I may have read this chapter 100 times. This time I read it and go, bam, all of a sudden it pops out at me and I see something I've never seen before. What happened? God just opened my eyes in a way that I've never seen it before, and he speaks directly to me. Look at the next verse. The Bible says this, "Open my eyes so that I may see the wonderful truths in your word." That's what it means to watch and pray.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in our series called, Can You Hear Me Now? In these lessons, we'll learn how to truly discern the Lord's voice in the midst of a world full of distractions. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get this entire series on audio CD or MP3 download. You can find out more right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 99000. That's the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called How to Get Guidance from God.
Now, God often uses a mental picture to clarify a problem in your life. Look at this with David in Psalm 73. He says, "When I tried to figure it all I got was a splitting headache until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I saw the whole picture." David said, "You know, I had this problem going on in my life, and I couldn't figure it out, and I couldn't figure it out, and I couldn't figure it out. It was just really stressing me out, and I'm getting a headache. So I go to church, I go to the sanctuary, I go to the temple, and I focus on God. And while I'm focusing on God and I'm calming myself down, he gives me this picture, and all of a sudden, it all makes sense. And I see what he's doing in my life." And through a picture, God gave David perspective. Now, if there's anything that you need in your life more than almost anything else, you need perspective. Because most of the time you go through life with a little tiny narrow vision, seeing only this much of your problem and not seeing how it fits. And if anybody can give you the big picture, if anybody can give you the big perspective, it's God, because he sees it all. And when you see the whole picture and you see the big perspective, all of a sudden your little problem seems a whole lot smaller in the whole scheme of things. And so how do you get perspective from God? Let him give you a picture. Now, some of you are thinking, "Rick, isn't all this visualizing, isn't this kind of like New Age stuff?" Well, it can be. In fact, the counterfeit is. But the counterfeit is just a copy of the real thing, which is biblical meditation or biblical visualization. You see, God gave human beings the ability to imagine. It's one of the greatest gifts God has given you. It's what makes you different from animals. Animals do not have imagination. They do not create tools. They do not dream like human beings do and create things through dreams. And God says, "I have created you in my image, so I'm going to give you an imagination." Imagination. And just like God can think things up and create them, the Bible says God has given you an imagination. Napoleon said, "Imagination rules the world." Einstein said, "Imagination is more important than intellect." And it is. Because everything that's ever been created in the world, somebody dreamed up first. You're sitting in a building that somebody had to dream up first. It didn't just appear. Somebody saw it first in their mind. Then they put it into architectural drawings, and then it became a building. You're sitting on a chair that somebody imagined first how it would look, and then they designed it, and then they created it. This microphone, somebody imagined this microphone, and then from that, the dream became a reality. And when you are imagining and when you are creating, you are doing a talent that God has given you as a human being made in his image. Now, anything that God creates can be misused and abused. In fact, that is Satan's entire purpose. Satan cannot create anything, nothing. He's never had an original thought in his mind. All he can do is copy, pervert, misuse, and abuse. So what he does is he tries to take all the good things that God does and tries to pervert them. For instance, it was God's idea to think up sex. Aren't you glad he thought that one up? None of us would be here without that one. Okay? God thought up sex. Has Satan perverted it? Yes, in many, many ways. God thought up food. Satan perverts food. You can go down the list. Everything that God has created in the world, Satan tries to abuse, misuse, and pervert. And the same is true with visualizing. Biblical visualizing of focusing on God and thinking his thoughts can be abused. And people try to get you visualizing on crystals and visualizing on this and that, which is not what God wanted you to do. In fact, when you visualize the wrong thing, one of the terms for that is called lust. And people use their imaginations for all kinds of evil things today, too. That's not what God wants. It's just a perversion of what God wanted to do. Now, about 50% of you, as typical in America, are visual thinkers by nature. You just naturally think that way. If you read a story in the Bible, man, you just see it in your mind. You can see it in your mind. Others of us, we just read it and all we see is words. It doesn't come that clear in living color. And so, for those of you who are naturally visual thinkers, it's going to be easier for God to talk to you this way. It's a little bit harder for the rest of us. So how do you watch in prayer? Remember, Jesus said, watch and pray. Not listen and pray, watch and pray. How do you watch and pray if you're not a visual thinker? Well, I'm not a visual thinker, so let me give you two ways that help me. Number one, ask God a specific question. Ask God a specific question. In fact, over 20 times in the New Testament, we are commanded to ask. God says, I want you to ask in prayer. It says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. The Bible says you have not because you ask not.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called How to Get Guidance from God from our series called Can You Hear Me Now? The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Hey, if you're enjoying this series and today's message, but you've got a long day in the office ahead of you, kids to pick up or meals to cook, then let us send you a copy of this entire series that includes 4 full-length teachings from Pastor Rick. That way, you can listen from start to finish or just a little at a time, whenever it's convenient for you. And you can always go back and listen as often as you want or share these messages with a friend. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll give you the choice of either a 4 audio CD boxed set or downloadable high-quality MP3s. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Thanks in advance for your support. Today is the last day to get yours, so don't wait.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
Look at this next verse, James chapter 1, verse 5. Let's read this verse aloud. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. For he is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him. But when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to tell you. Now, this is a very important verse because it tells us 3 truths. First, God wants you to ask him for advice. You're not bothering him. He's waiting for you to ask. Second, he wants you to be specific. And the more specific you are, the better, because it builds your faith when you ask God for something specific and then he answers and then you bless God for it. Now, don't be general in your prayers. I mean, a lot of people go and say, oh, God, give me a bunch of things. Well, what does that mean? Or even like say, don't even pray, God, bless me. How do you know if he's answered or not? What is a blessing? Could you define a blessing? Some of you wouldn't know if a blessing hits you or not. In fact, sometimes a blessing is a problem. Is that what you're praying? God, give me a bunch of problems. You ought to be very careful when you say, God bless me, because a blessing might be a trial that helps you grow in character. I would be very specific. What's the size, the color, and the shape that you want? Be specific with God. And then number 3, he wants you to expect an answer. There's that faith issue. He says, don't pray and ask me for help unless you expect that I'm going to help you. Now think about this. Did you know that whenever you expect something really big from God, you're actually complimenting God? You're actually giving God a compliment. Because you're saying, God, I believe you're so big that you can take care of this, and I'm expecting you to answer this problem or this need in my life in a way that could never be done in my own power. And that gives honor and a compliment to God. A couple years ago, when we did the 40 Days of Purpose campaign in the fall of 2002, our pastors were making plans for that in the spring of 2002. And our goal was to start 300 new groups, small groups, during the 40 Days of Purpose, and to have 50,000 people go through the simulcast of the initial of the Purpose-Driven Life. Well, I went home one day, and I'm praying, and God said, Rick, you're not expecting enough from me. I said, what? He said, no, that's just stuff you can do in your own power and your own energy. You've never really believed me until you attempt something that can't be done in human power. So I said, well, what do you want me to expect? He said, exponential growth. Add a zero to it. Instead of 300 groups, believe that we could start 3,000 small groups. Instead of 50,000 people in a simulcast, believe that you could have 500,000. So I went back the next day and I told all the guys, all the pastors, we're going to go for this. 3,000 new groups, 500,000 in the simulcast. Everybody said, let's go for it. Let's trust God. Let's believe something that's so big we could never do it in our own energy. And as you remember, that's exactly what happened. We had 500,000 people nationwide watch the simulcast. And I got up one day and I said, you know what? A lot of people need to know the purpose of life. Would you be willing to play this videotape in your home for, 6 weeks and invite some of your friends in? I need 3,000 of you to be hosts. And 3,200 of you signed up. And what happened in 40 days was this. During the 40 days of purpose, our attendance in our church grew from 17,000 in October to 18,000 in November to 19,000 in December. But our small groups attendance went from 8,000 to 23,000. That was a miracle. It was not something none of us could have done, but we just expected God to do great things, and He did. So we just say, God, you make it possible. And you ask God, and you believe great things. Now, here's the second thing you do. After you ask a specific question and believe Him to answer, you look into God's Word. Look into God's Word. You see, all of the answers for life are in this book. And once you have calmed down, you say, God, I want to hear from you, and I'm going to withdraw, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to watch, and now I'm going to look at your Word. And as you open and read the book, I can't tell you how many times in my life God has taken a verse and pulled it directly to me. I may have read this chapter 100 times. This time I read it and go, bam, all of a sudden it pops out at me and I see something I've never seen before. What happened? God just opened my eyes in a way that I've never seen it before, and He speaks directly to me. Look at the next verse. The Bible says this, open my eyes so that I may see the wonderful truths in your Word. That's what it means to watch and pray. Tom's going to talk about the next one.
There's a fifth thing that Habakkuk teaches us about getting guidance from God, and that is to write, to record the ideas that you receive. He says, the Lord gave me this answer, write down clearly what I reveal to you. Because Habakkuk wrote it down, we have the book called Habakkuk. That's what it's all about. He asks God a question, God gives him an answer. He writes it down. He asks God a question, God gives him an answer, and he writes it down. Listen, if your prayer life is stuck in a rut, and mine sure does get stuck in a rut sometimes, you feel like you're saying the same rote prayers over and over, or your prayers aren't getting above the ceiling. You ever feel like that? We all feel like that sometimes. If your prayer life is like that, one of the greatest things you can do for a solution is begin to write down your prayers. Because it helps you to see what you're praying. It helps you to make them more personal. It helps you to make them more real. It helps you to be more serious about those prayers that you're praying. This is called the spiritual habit of journaling. It's a habit that many, many great Christians have had for centuries. It's a habit that will help to refresh your prayer life. But don't make it too complicated. It's a very simple thing. You just simply write down what you're saying to God, and you write down what God's saying to you. Now, I know some people have a problem with this. They think, is it like okay to write down your prayers? Shouldn't praying be like more spontaneous? If you couldn't write down your prayers, we wouldn't have the book of Psalms. It's all David's prayers being written down. Of course it's okay to write down your prayers. In fact, it's a spiritually healthy thing to do. Now, this is just a practical thing, so let me give you some practical suggestions about this. Just a practical way to say, how am I going to do this? Get a ledger book or get a notebook, whatever. Open it up. Two suggestions for how to do this. One would be to vertically put a line down the center of the pages. And on one side, write out what I said to God. On the other side, write out what God said to me. That's pretty simple. And as you write those things out that you're saying to God, don't expect God always to say something to you immediately. Sometimes it's later in the day. Sometimes you're driving down the street. Sometimes you're in a meeting at work. Sometimes you're in the shower. Sometimes it wakes you up in the middle of the night. Then you go back and you write down what God said to me. Very simple thing, but it makes a powerful difference in your life. The second practical suggestion would be to take the same sheet of paper, instead put a horizontal line, and up above the line, put the events of your day the day before. Just put yesterday. Write down some of the events. But make this more than a diary that talks about the events of your day. Underneath the line, write down life lessons. And look back at the events of the day before and think about what lessons was God trying to teach me through that? Because He is. He tries to teach us lessons through what happens in our lives. And I miss them all the time, and I bet you do too. Because we get so busy, we rush right past them. So if you take some time just to sit down and write out what lessons was God trying to teach me in my life through what happened yesterday, that can help you to focus on what He has to do. This is a very, very powerful habit. That's got great benefits in your life. It helps you to focus your thoughts. As you write these things down, thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through the lips and the fingertips. If I can say it, if I can write it down, it helps me to disentangle my thoughts. It helps you to remember what you said and what God said. I don't know about you, but I forget what God said to me a lot of times. Unless I write it down, I just keep forgetting it. It helps you to test the impressions that you get from God. In the last message in this series, Pastor Rick's going to be talking about 6 ways to test an impression. But you got to have an impression before you test an impression. So writing it down sees the impression. It also, this next verse in your outline reminds us that this habit also helps you to be able to pass on a spiritual legacy to your children as they can see God's faith journey in your life. Look at this next verse. The Bible says in Psalm 102, verse 18, write these things down for the future so that people who are not yet born will praise the Lord.
These are the steps. I want, I withdraw, I wait, and then I watch, then I write, and the last step is I worship. I worship. I thank God for speaking to me. Now, this is the natural response of hearing from God. I worship. And this is what Habakkuk did. In verse 2 of chapter 3, he says, O Lord, now I have heard your report, and I worship you in awe. When you receive God's response to a question, it makes you love Him more. Now, last week I said sometimes God speaks through silence. Why is God silent sometimes? Well, there are a lot of different reasons. God may be saying, wait a minute, I'm not ready to tell you. He may be saying, you're not ready to hear it. I want you to grow up a little bit more. He may be saying, the timing isn't right. He may be saying, in this particular issue, the choice is yours. Either one is okay, so it doesn't matter to God. He may be saying, I want you to trust me. You know, sometimes when I pray, I ask God, I say, Jesus, is there anything you want to say to me? And I get a direct answer. Nope. Nope. Everything's okay. Sometimes I just stop and, Jesus, is there anything you want to say to me? No. You're doing fine. You keep going. Everything's copacetic. And so you just keep going. Now, what we've talked about today will revolutionize your prayer life if you do it. It's one thing for you to sit here and take notes on it. It's another thing to practice it. But if you will start following these 6 steps, it will turn prayer from a monologue into a dialogue. It will turn prayer from you just talking to God to a conversation that He is talking to you too. And God wants a conversation with you. Now, I said last week that for you to hear God, you have to know Him. You can't hear God unless you know God. And everybody here is in one of 3 relationships with God, either recognition, acquaintance, or friendship. Some of you are just in the recognition stage. Oh, you recognize that God exists, but you really don't know anything about Him, and you need to step up to the next level or even closer. The next group are those of you who say, well, I'm an acquaintance of God. I know God, and God knows me, but I don't know Him very well. It's just an acquaintance. God didn't put you on earth to be an acquaintance of His. He created you, He formed you, He made you for a friendship. And the most amazing truth in the universe is that the Creator of it all wants you for a personal friend. And that's why you were made. And how do you become a friend of God? First, by getting to know His Son, Jesus Christ, and second, by having conversations with Him. You can't make a friendship without having conversation. And that's why we taught this to you today. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to pray for you right now, and then you can pray. Father, I thank You that You love us enough to listen to us, and You love us enough to talk to us. And yet, Lord, there's so many people here who have never experienced the joy of a conversation with You in their minds. And there are others who only know You as an acquaintance. May today, right now, be the greatest turning point in their lives. Now you pray. Say, dear God, I am amazed that You would want me for a friend. I want to learn to have conversations with You. Help me to practice these steps this week and to share them with other people, to pass them on. Thank You for caring about all the details of my life. Jesus Christ, I want to know You more and more every day. And I want to depend on You for guidance. God, I need Your guidance in my job, in my family, in my future, in my finance, and in every area of my life. And I invite You, Jesus Christ, to be the manager of my life. In Your name I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again and to find out more about this ministry, or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Hey, if you're enjoying this series and today's message, but you've got a long day in the office ahead of you, kids to pick up, or meals to cook, then let us send you a copy of this entire series that includes 4 full-length teachings from Pastor Rick. That way, you can listen from start to finish, or just a little at a time, whenever it's convenient for you. And you can always go back and listen as often as you want, or share these messages with a friend. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll give you the choice of either a 4 audio CD box set or downloadable high-quality MP3s. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or just call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004, and thanks in advance for your support. That's 800-600-5004, and thanks in advance for your support. Today's the last day to get yours, so don't wait. And now, here's Rick with a closing thought.
When you're faced with unpleasant people, you know the best thing to do? Just love them. Don't try to fix them, okay? Don't try to fix them. Just love them. And let God do the work of changing their heart. If you're not God, trust Him to change them. And then watch for how He helps you grow spiritually in the meantime. Thanks for listening today. And join me again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.